Become our friend on Facebook. Post on our wall your thoughts about our shows and network. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaSports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to the Comeback Radio Show with your host, Tony Farmer. Our show is all about what goes on behind the scenes in sports, music, acting, and celebrity lifestyles. You'll have the chance to interact with Tony and his guests, too. Now, get ready for the Comeback Radio Show. Here's Tony Farmer.
Good morning. Welcome, everyone. This is Tony Farmer. Welcome to this week's show. As you guys know, I like to start my show with a thought for the day and let you guys know, you know, my viewpoints and things like that. But our thought for the day is we've all heard that we have to learn from our mistakes, but I think it's more important to learn from successes. If you learn only from your mistakes, you are inclined to learn only errors. So we can always look to know that just because we make mistakes, we do learn from them, but from our successes, we also learn. So these are good points that I looked at this morning when I woke up of what I wanted to share with you. So welcome, everyone. Welcome all our listeners all across the world, family, friends, and loved ones. But, you know, the headline today that really stuck out to me, I'm sure you guys know, a couple weeks ago, I had Clipper Darrell as one of my guest hosts, and he's a good friend of mine, is the number one fan for the Clippers, and got some devastating news yesterday from the Clipper organization itself saying that he can no longer use the name Clipper Dale because he's not an employee, not directly associated with the team. So they've taken that title away from him. And, you know, I talked to Daryl this morning via text message. He was very, very disappointed, and I was disappointed as well. And Chris Paul and Blake Griffin have showed the support for him. And, you know, you look at life and say this man has had a passion for this team since 2001 when they were dormant. They weren't doing anything and didn't have a great team. And he's just been there during the lockout, during the bad years, and now they're having a good year, so they decided to take that away from him. And, you know, one of my guests, Coach Fred Bryan, one of my coaches will be on later, we're going to talk about that. But you just learn in life that sometimes, you know, things happen that you don't know why God does those, but they do. So we wish them all the best, and we hope that they allow him to continue to be Clipper Darrell, because having fans that are passionate, and myself being a former NBA player, looking at those people that just pay their money, hardworking people, to come to the games and just have a passion for sports, you never want to take their mojo away from them. Another thing that I read this week that was kind of sad and disappointing is the school shootings out there in Ohio, and this young man that had taken these lives of students and shot other ones just decided that it was his time to do what he had to do. And you never want to see these young kids today do these type of things. But for us as parents, it always just lets us know that we have to give our kids the proper guidance. We have to give them the proper direction and surround them with the best support team that there can be. And as parents, as siblings, as friends and loved ones, we just have to remember to do what we need to do. So our thoughts and prayers go out to those families, to that school, and we just hope they can get it together. But this morning when I came into my office, you know, some things kind of touched home with me. I have a friend, 24 years old, and has been diagnosed with leukemia. And she just told me yesterday that it's at the stage 3 and having heart failure. And it kind of breaks my heart for the fact that to see her have that struggle. And so I myself, you know, started to do some research on leukemia and bone marrow. And I have another friend that was in the hospital last week and needs a bone marrow and is anemic. So I've just been learning all these things just about health and in my own transformation and getting my body together and getting my mind together, getting my, you know, soul together. Things I wanted to do is just help me really understand of what's needed. My sister, you know, passed away of lupus a couple years ago. My mom has it. So health is definitely important. And I was reading a story about a young man Graham and Britton Douglas. They were twins, and one of them needed a bone marrow, and the brother couldn't do it because they were twins, and started this movement to help educate a lot of people about leukemia, about bone marrow transplant. So I definitely signed up today through a website called DKSAmericas.org. So I'm an official bone marrow donor as of today, that I want to see if I can touch someone else's life, and just made me really feel good to feel like I can help with that. So I encourage all of you, if you can donate blood, donate bone marrow, sign up for this site. It's free. They send you a kit. It's pretty simple about swabbing. So these things that I feel that can really help is really important for us. So, you know, God has put us here to do a service and wants us to mentor and witness to everyone and be able to help them out. So I challenge all of you to do that as well. But another thing that I wanted to look at today is, you know, what our athletes are doing today for our community, what our athletes are doing to become positive role models. And I just looked at the series of arrests for athletes that are getting themselves in trouble. Two NFL athletes were arrested on drug charges, Sam Hurd and another guy with the last name of Simpson from the Bengals. And, you know, you look at these guys that are so-called role models on TV, and our kids look up to them, and, you know, we think that, you know, they're, like, untouchable. Then you see these disappointing things about them getting arrested and getting in trouble for drugs. And, you know, we just have to make sure that as athletes and just as people, we hold ourselves accountable to a higher standard all the time, you know, to make a difference in these lives. So, you know, as an athlete myself, I look to always try to make a difference and to be just a positive person in the community. So I challenge all of you, just, you know, in your daily walks and the things that you do, to be sure that, you know, you're making a difference. So, you know, with that being said, you know, this past weekend was a good All-Star weekend, and one of the biggest stories about the weekend was, you know, Kobe breaking his nose, and did Dwayne Wade do this on purpose? But let me tell you guys something. Professional sports is a very, very powerful thing, and an industry itself, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, it doesn't really matter. Dwayne Wade is one of those guys. He's a good guy. He never has any issues as far as, like, you know, being on the court and what he does. So, I mean, he didn't intentionally look to hurt Kobe or to try to, you know, make things bad for him, but it didn't affect him because Kobe ended up scoring 31 points, you know, last night. So, you know, with that being said, there's no need to kind of make this thing a big problem to what happened. But what I really enjoy over the All-Star weekend was seeing a big man like Kevin Love win a three-point contest at 6'10", plays power fours, having a heck of a season and having a heck of a career thus far. And, you know, he was able to win a three-point contest. The dunk contest had a lot of flair. But let me tell you, I want to see the LeBron James, Blake Griffin, all these powerful dunkers, spectacular players, you know, dunk against each other in next year's All-Star game. There's no reason why the flair and all the camaraderie should not be there. I remember watching Dominique Wilkins and Michael Jordan and all these, you know, top stars dunk away in these contests, and it just helps you understand, like, these fans are sitting there paying their money to see these stars play, want to see the best of the best at all times. And I just think we have to get back to having the best players become dunkers and do those things as well. So, you know, I really enjoyed the All-Star game. It was a great game. Kevin Durant got MVP of the game. Honestly, I thought LeBron was going to get MVP. That was my choice for him to do that, but it didn't happen, you know, that way as well. So, you know, from that standpoint, I always look to look at these events, and, you know, this month is what we call March Madness, and I'm really excited to see these teams compete against each other for this title. I remember when I was in Nebraska in 1991, we were the number 3 seed, and we ended up getting, you know, upset by Xavier, and we're the number 3 seed. They were the 16th seed, and it was pretty interesting to see all the hype that goes with that, and all the teams that, you know, they were winning. You see, like, the Christian Leitners and, you know, the Grand Hills and people like that, they're at Duke, you know, really do well. So I'm excited about it. I think Duke has a great team. I think Syracuse has a great team. I think, you know, there's a lot of teams that are out there that have a chance to win the championship. And even from the women's standpoint, I had a chance to watch Baylor play three or four times, you know, this year. Brittany Griner, 6'9", a very, very dominant force. And I've been excited. This is one of my favorite months. And so when we are looking at the NCAA and looking at your teams playing, I want to see who all of you have to cheer for. So, you know, March Madness is a good time for all of us to do that. But, you know, with that being said, you look at the aspect of this NBA season and NFL season, and now, you know, Major League Baseball is coming up. And, you know, I look at things about how my show is derived of based on the Comeback radio show, the Comeback TV show. And I had a chance to read the story about the young man Ryan Braun, who had steroid use and ended up winning his case. I had never, ever seen someone win a case except for him for the first time. And it was really, really interesting to see he win that. But, you know, as an arbitrator said, or the mediator, whatever you want to call it, sat there and said that, you know, based on the evidence that was presented, he didn't feel like the man was guilty. So, you know, a lot of times we hold fault and find people guilty before even the facts are even at stake. So, you know, with that being said, I'm excited about this show. Going to have a few guests call in and look ready to kind of tell their story and the things that, you know, we're going to do. So at the end of the day, I'm going to, after this commercial break, I'm going to bring in Harold Arsenault. He has a great story. So we're going to take a commercial break right now. When we come back, we're going to have Harold Arsenault. All right, commercial, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network.
School to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You're listening to the Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. Got a question or comment for Tony and his guest? Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You could also send an email to tony.farmer@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tony Farmer, your host of The Comeback Show, and I'm excited to have our first guest on here. His name is Harold, the show Arsenault, where he comes from Louisiana, played at Weber State University, played in Mexico, and has just done well in his professional career. He's been all over the world, and currently he's down in Atlanta living. And I want to welcome to our show Mr. Harold Arsenault. Harold, are you with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Thanks for having me, Tony.
No problem. You know, well, H, I've been knowing you for 10, 12 years now, and, you know, this is your month of March Madness. And I want to ask you a question to tell our listeners. How did the nickname The Show come about?
It actually came when I was in college, when I transferred from junior college and came to Weber State. So people started giving me the name up in Ogden. coming to the games and watching some of the dunks and shots and trick plays me and Eddie used to do, and that's how the name kind of came about.
Okay, got it. And, you know, back in 2000, Harold, you guys were a big underdog in North Carolina. You guys had a chance to upset them, and you did, and you had a 36-point performance. Tell our listeners how that came about and how that felt. And, you know, to this day, we talk about it all the time. People just know you on that level for what you did, and you tormented North Carolina by yourself. Tell me about that experience.
We got ready for the tournament. We had a really good team. We had a lot of junior college All-Americans that actually transferred to Weber State that year. So, you know, basically they came into the game. They overlooked us. They looked at the next round, and we was able to sneak up on them and get them.
Right, and take us back to your performance. You had 36 points. What was going for you that night?
Well, you know, when we first got the game, Coach let me open it up a little more than usual. He felt like if I got my game going real early, it was going to be hard for him to guard me. So we iced him. We ice-load him, and he just let me play one-on-one basketball. And, you know, everybody ever saw me play, that's my game.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, since then, you know, you finished the school record that year, 713 points, averaged 22.6 rebounds, and then, you know, from that standpoint, you was never drafted by an NBA team, even though that was your aspirations, and end up going to Australia, France, Portugal, the Philippines, Venezuela, Mexico, and out of all the places that you went to, what was your best experience?
All of them was just different. You know, it was good. I got a chance to, you know, see the world and do a lot of things that people where I'm from never got the chance to do. So all of them was just different experience, and you know, I cherish each experience I had with those teams.
Okay, got it. And you know, now that you're done playing, you just officially retired, and we had talked in the last week or two that now you've had no coaching experience on any kind of level, and now you've just been named head coach of your team, Let Your Girls, down there in Mexico. And I played with you in Mexico, played against you in Mexico. You know, we played in the summer all the time. You know, my kids, you know, cherish the relationship that they have with you. What's your excitement about being your first head coach on a professional level after never coaching anywhere?
I mean, it's going to be interesting. You know, I did a lot of semi-coaching with the teams I played with over the years. So I kind of got a chance to play under some good coaches and learn some things. So hopefully I can do a good job for them and they can be proud of me.
Right. Now, how did it come about? Because I know you have a very close relationship with the owner of the team, and you said she contacted you. How did all that? Were you looking to coach? Did you contact her?
Well, I played for that owner since 2004. So I've been with that team since, like, 2004, 2005. So over the years, me and him built a strong relationship. He always told me he wanted me to come coach the team after I was done playing. And, you know, and it presented itself, and he called me and asked me to coach the team. I kind of thought about it. Did I want to play or do I want to coach? Do I want to play? Do I want to coach? And I just felt like it was time for me to make a change, do something different. So I told him I'd coach.
Okay, now when will you actually be going down there to build your team? And what kind of team are you going to have? So when is all this going to take place?
I'm supposed to go down next month. Then we're going to put together the budgets and the style of players we want, the kind of people we want. And then, you know, I have everything figured out by next month. But the season won't start until August, September. So I got a while before I actually have to be there.
Okay, that's going to be exciting with that. Now that you kind of walked away from playing and, you know, every time I've talked to you, you know, you saw my success in business and been to my house, like I said, know my kids. And you always said you want to have your own entrepreneurship level. So with that being said, you had told me recently that you have a new venture now with your brother in the music. Elaborate on me. What are you doing today with that?
You know, I'm just one of the, over the years as I was, you know, playing ball, I was investing in a music company from the Ground Up Records. And we just got some artists and we're just trying to get them out and, you know, just kind of let the course take care of itself. We got a couple of good artists.
What are some of your good artists? What are some of their names?
One artist's name is Mr. Magic. We had the group Melodge made the song Trickin'. We did real well on that song. Came out a few years ago. Now we actually pushing the artist named Young Dirt, hip-hop artist. We just started his campaign, so people won't hear about him. It's about 2 or 3 months before you really start hearing his name and hearing his music.
Okay, got it. Now, with the record company with your brother down in Atlanta, what is your role? I mean, do you go recruit the artists? I mean,
I'm more of a CEO of the company. You know, I deal with most of the ground, the high stuff, not the street stuff.
Okay. So you deal most.
So I more deal with the financial assets of it.
Okay, got it. Now, how do you guys usually get the majority of your talent? Is your brother discovering them? Do people come you? They email you? How do you guys get a lot of your talent?
Well, initially he started the company. He the one with the music ear. He the one really. He the quarterback of the whole ship. So we, you know, we mostly go out and find somebody kind of got a street buzz, kind of got his own fan base. And basically, we try to take it to the next level.
Okay, got it. Now, when you look at, you know, today, Harold, as your career, you know, if you've had a long career, and you look at some of these athletes today, how they have these entourages, how they, you know, see Allen Iverson losing money, and you're really good friends with Master P, and I was in training camp. Master P was in training camp with me in Charlotte, and, you know, he played with us in Utah as well. When you look at today's athlete, what would you say the difference is from when you came out in 2000 to some of these athletes today of why are they having so many setbacks and so many disappointments? What do you think is the biggest problem of the day in sports with these young athletes?
I mean, you know, the whole problem is when you make money, you get a lot of people around you that's yes, sir, that don't tell you what you need to hear. They just tell you what you want to hear. And I think that's just the biggest problem. You know, you got to surround yourself around people that's going to tell you the right and going to tell you the wrong, and not people just going to tell you what you think you need to hear. So
right.
I think a lot of trouble come in when you're around people and, you know, you're doing something wrong. And instead of them telling you it's wrong, they're telling you it's right.
Exactly.
And, now, you know, I think that's the biggest thing.
Who was one of the biggest influences on you when you were playing?
You know, like I never really watched a whole lot of basketball. You know, I grew up with Master P, and I saw the things he did. So he always been an inspiration for me, just because I was able to see him from nothing to what he became. So
right,
he always been a person in my life that always gave me good advice, always I admired and looked up to.
Right, and you just recently spent some time with him. You told me last week. Are you guys elaborating on a project?
Yeah. You know, we're really good friends. So, you know, he always come down and check out what we got going on, get his advice, you know, business involved and everything. So, you know, that friendship, you know, always open. Everybody I've been friends with, I'm still friends with. So,
right.
So, you know, that's how I kind of carry myself and always, you know, just stay positive.
Right. Now, what advice would you give to athletes today striving to get a scholarship or wanting to become a professional? Because, you know, like you said, you went to junior college first, then went to Weber State, and, you know, a legend up at Weber State. People always know you, even during March Madness. What advice would you give to a young high school player who's trying to achieve a scholarship and then a college player who has aspirations of becoming a professional?
Well, I would say follow your heart and stay true to yourself and, you know, do what your desire is. What a lot of people don't understand, T, is, you know, the NBA ain't for everybody.
Right.
At the end of the day, if you love playing ball, play ball and make you some money. But also have a plan for after ball where, you know, once you finish playing ball, you won't be a person looking, you know, looking to start all over again.
Exactly. Now, at what point in your career did you start telling yourself, well, you know what, I got to start preparing for life after basketball. I'm not sure how long basketball is going to last. At what point in your career did you start to prepare for life after basketball? Were you always like that, or did some things wake you up?
Right at the college, I always been good at making contacts and meeting people and networking. So
right.
I kind of been set myself up for the next step years before the next step even happened.
Okay.
I really don't live into the moment. I live more into the future. So, you know, as
right.
it was going, I was always building relationships, always, you know, trying to do the right thing about people. So, you know, later in life, I could come back to them and we could do a business venture or something else to move forward.
Okay, got it.
I would just say always make sure everybody you meet, you leave a good impression on them.
Got it. Now, with that being said, and looking at the NBA season, how it was a lockout, how it shortened, who do you think is the favorite to win the NBA title, and who do you think the best player in the NBA is right now?
I think Miami. You know, they gelling. They team look like they together. Every time you see Wade, you see Brian. So, I mean, that's a good thing. So I think right now they're the best team in the NBA.
Okay, and who do you think is the best player in the NBA?
The best player for me always be Kobe.
Why is Kobe to you better than LeBron or Durant?
Because he's story right now. He's breaking records that you know, it take a legend to break them legends. He's breaking legend records right now.
Exactly.
You can't deny that. You can't overlook it.
No, that's true. I mean, he's a winner. He has rings, and even with a broken nose, he's coming back well. So, I mean, definitely with that. So tell our listeners out there how come they can keep up with your record company, keep up with what you're doing, Facebook, Twitter, whatever the company.
Twitter, we got that. You look out from the ground up records. That's the label. We always got stuff on Twitter. We always got stuff like that. As far as my team is the Lechigueros of Leon in Mexico. We got a website down there. You can always, you know, put my name on the Google and it always tell you what I'm doing or what I'm up to. That's basically about it.
Well, that's good. Now, are there any up-and-coming concerts for your artists that our listeners can be aware of, whether in Atlanta, Dallas, LA, New York?
Well, we actually, our artist Young Dirk got a concert March 9th in North Carolina. So that would be a good show. Hopefully he put on a good show for his fans and for the people that come out and support him.
Okay. Well, now, will you be at that concert yourself?
Yeah, I'm actually going to drive down and go support him.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, I mean, with that being said, Harold, once again, I mean, you've been one of my closest friends over the years. I really appreciate you being a guest on the Comeback Show, and I wish you all the best in your music endeavors and your coaching endeavors, and I'll be sure to support you any way I can.
Okay, same here, Tony. I'm proud of you. You know, you're doing the show, and, you know, you're doing the right thing by everybody, T, so you keep up the good work, too.
I appreciate it. All right, we're going to go to commercial break, and we come back, we'll be looking to have our second guest, Mr. Fred Bryan. He's an interesting story, one of my former coaches. So we'll go back to commercial, and I'll see you in 2 minutes.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
If you're looking for a radio show about boxing, you usually can't find one until you stop by the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in to Outside the Ring with former world lightweight champion and U.S. Olympian David Diaz. We'll deliver the knockout punches with our guests as we go inside the minds of today's top fighters. We'll throw in discussion of other sports as well from time to time. Outside the Ring with David Diaz airs every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Lockdown Coverage.
Get ready to talk sports with the big guys. Tune in to Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis every Tuesday for the inside and outside of the business of sports. Keith and his guests will provide expert commentary and answer all of your burning questions about your favorite team, the players, and what's next. It's time to have fun with the game. Listen for Lockdown Coverage with Keith Lewis and his favorite co-hosts every Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. The talk doesn't get any hotter.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to the Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. Got a question or comment for Tony and his guest? Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to tony.farmer@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Tony Farmer, for this week, the Comeback Radio Show. Once again, I want to thank Harold the Show Arsenal for being a guest of mine, and I've been friends with him for 10 years plus, and watched him at Weber State, played with him in Mexico, played against him in Mexico, played with him with our team, the ABA Snow Bears. But I'm excited to have my second guest. I tell people all the time he's one of the favorite coaches I've ever played for. He coached me my rookie year with the Columbus Horizon. I was just a young 21-year-old kid, fresh from the Los Angeles Lakers, trying to embark on a pro career, and this man really helped me get my game together, get my things in order. So I want to welcome to our show Mr. Fred Bryan. Coach, are you with us?
I am, sir. Glad to be with you, Tony.
Well, I appreciate it. Coach, I played for you back in Columbus in the CBA when the CBA was the version of the D-League, and you've coached in many places, have many experiences. What would you say has been your best experience as you were coaching throughout your career?
Wow, there's been a lot, but it's mostly been the people, the relationships, the I guess if I had a bunch of championships, I'd have said those. So, but it's probably the people like you that are still friends of mine that I still get to talk to, that still call me on my birthday, and that would be what I would say would be the relationships.
Right. Now, your experience, our experience that we had in Columbus, you know, with Eli Jacobson at that time, the CBA was a very, very strong league. When you, how would you assess your experience with us in the CBA in comparison to how the D League is today?
Oh, apples and oranges. Back in the CBA, we were the great Wild West. We had to go find our own guys. There was no player pool that we could draw from. You didn't have the NBA to fall back upon from a financial standpoint. I know that there's some owner teams in the D League, but we were all out there on our own trying to find our own players, and difference in daylight and dark, but it was the league that gave the NBA the idea for the D League that they should be in that business.
Right. Now, do you think that the talent pool is the same from when we were in the CBA to the D League now? Do you think it's just a little bit more political and saturated? What do you think the difference is between when we played in the minor leagues to the D League now? A lot of these players say, I don't want to go overseas, or they don't want to go to an ABA. They want to strictly go to the D League. Is that bad advice? What is the difference that you see between the two leagues? You think it's a lot political now compared to when we were in the CBA? Because the CBA was pretty darn competitive when we played.
It really was, and there was a tremendous talent pool. Every year, our service, Pro Exposure Report, sees the talent pool grow. we follow about the top 1,800 players in the world. If it's in Europe, if it's in Southeast Asia, if it's in the D-League, outside of the NBA. And every year it gets stronger. Every year the leagues get stronger. Every year there's more communication about players. There's more knowledge about how to run a franchise. So I see it as getting better every year.
Okay. Now, with that being said, you started the ProExposure.com. Tell our listeners how that came about and what it is and how it's just been, because I love it. Every morning I look at the transactions every single day to what's going on. It really helps me. How did that come about, that idea?
Well, I was just really, really fortunate that the Lord blessed me with a lot of great players. And back in those days, they never came and got your worst one. Quick story, we were up 2-0 on George Karl and on Albany Patroons in the playoffs, and Phil Jackson decided to call up our Rookie of the Year, Clifford Lett, take a look at him. Of course, he had a guy by the name of Jordan that was playing the same spot that year, so there's a little politics involved too, but I asked him, I said, now, are you going to give him two 10 days? He said, I doubt I'm probably going to get him on the court. Phil was the former coach at Albany.
Now, with that being said, what is the pro exposure? What is it on the everyday? Is it just how everybody keeps up with the leagues? How is that?
We spun off of those players. We had 11 guys get 10-day contracts in 2 years, so we made a lot of contacts, overseas. And so what Pro Exposure is, ProExposure.com is a data collection source for 22 of the NBA teams, a majority of the EuroLeague teams. We are moving into Asia. We work for Toyota this year. Our role in the whole thing is to tell the decision makers the information that they need to make the decisions from. Instead of them spending their day going around the internet and trying to find out what's true and what's not true, every morning they get the Pro Exposure Report, and we cover the top 30 leagues nationally, internationally, and we do the top 30 conferences nationally, and of course the D-League. Every morning we can tell them who was where last night and how well from a statistical perspective that they played.
Awesome, because I know I look at it all the time, and what really excites me, the fact is, you know, because you've done a great job. It's always accurate information, always have the stories and things like that. But, you know, we talked this morning. There's one specific thing I want to talk about that kind of hurts me because it's a good friend of mine. Tell me your assessment about this situation with the Clipper, Darryl. We talked a little bit this morning. I just think it's unfortunate that they're taking this away from him. I've known this guy for a lot of years. When I play the NBA, he's doing nothing but positive things, hasn't asked the Clippers for a job, a dollar. Tell me your assessment, that coach, of this situation, Clipper Darryl.
You know, you just can't turn your back on those that have been there for you forever. And Darryl, I mean, he's been with them when nobody wanted to be with them. So now everybody
right.
wants to be with them. And all of a sudden, there's no need for him? Well, of course there's a need for him. I mean, he's, whether you like it or not, he's the face. He's part of the face. I mean, you know, the players are going to take over now. They've got really good players, and the organization's getting a little bit better. But that guy's out in the community. I see no reason to turn him out. I mean, the more the merrier. You need to fill that building. You need to fill the community with the love for your franchise. And we can all agree on that. He loves the franchise.
Right, and this is what bothers me is he's been there since 2001. Like you said, when they were dormant, Donald Sterling having these, you know, these cases against him, Elgin Baylor gone, Dunleavy's gone. I mean, they've had such of a negative impact on Los Angeles. Now they're turning everything around, and when you look at it, it's not hurting them, Coach, for him to do what he wants to do. Number one, and then number two is, why today, when just because they're enjoying success, that you take that away? Why didn't you take it away from him before when you're giving him those tickets, when he was supporting you guys, won 15, 16 games? Why weren't they doing it then?
It was a real positive for them back then, too. When they were, you know, getting the first pick in the draft every year, at least there was something good that you could look around at. You know, he's out there working with the kids, and he's helping the community. He's a positive for your franchise. Why cut out a positive? Just because
right.
you got a lot of them now, why cut out one at all? I don't understand it. I'm not there. I'm not making the decisions in the franchise, but I'm all for the guy. I'd like for him to see him, give him courtside seats and apologize to him.
That's what I think. Now, we talked a little bit about today. You're involved with the charity. Let our listeners know what are you doing today with the charity and how that's your movement and that's been your passion.
Well, we work with a lot of them, but Relay for Life, American Cancer Society, cancer's touched everyone's life, whether it's yourself, your family, your close friends, and every year we get a group together here locally, and it's across the nation. You can do it wherever you're listening to this from. You can join a Relay for Life, and you can go out and you can earn money that you give to the American Cancer Society by a variety of different reasons and ways. And hopefully one day we're going to eradicate that so that none of our children will ever have to deal with it.
Okay. And so what do they have? Like, I know breast cancer, they're so huge. They have their things everywhere. So with the Relief Society, what do they hold events? I mean, they hold bike rides. They hold how do they hold the events for our listeners to know to be able to support? I know they have websites and things like that, but what kind of major events do they hold?
Sure, you can go to relayforlife.org, and it'll give you a lot more information than you and I can give them right here. But it began in Portland, Oregon, with a physician that walked overnight. He started at 6 o'clock on a Friday and ended up on Saturday. So we still do that for him because he did, and the thought is that cancer never sleeps. It's an 18-hour event. It's usually held in a football field type thing. We go out there. We have tents. We have things to eat. We walk the track. People pay us to walk the track. I have a thing down here that I'll dress in anything that you bring me to dress in, and I'll walk a mile for you for $25. Now, I'm a big Alabama fan, so if it's an LSU jersey, I'm going to turn it inside out and wear it backwards, but I will wear it.
That's great. Now, with that being said, Coach, you know, I played 16 years, and of course, you followed my career and helped me on my career. We had a pretty good team with myself and Byron Dinkins and Byron Irvin and Kermit Holmes and things like that. What do you see today is the biggest difference of today's athlete from a coaching standpoint with their entourage? You see the story about Allen Iverson and Antoine Walker. What do you think is the biggest difference between players coming up back then as pros to these young guys coming up today? Why do you think there's so much disappointment with the entourages and athletes getting in trouble and compared to when we were growing up, when we had the true mentors like the Magic Johnsons and things like that? Why do you think there's so much of a big dissension between the two groups?
It's not even about sports. It's about who you surround yourself with. If you're an insurance salesman, if you're a whatever, if you're an athlete, you get more notoriety. People want to talk about you in the paper and on radio college shows and so forth. So people cling to you. Well, if there's a need for that person in your life, okay, fine. If there isn't, then there is no need for that person in your life. You need to get down to business, because as a professional basketball player, you only have so many days in your career. It's not years,
right.
It's days. And you've
right.
got to make it happen while you can. Now, after the fact, there's plenty of time to go out with all these other different ideas, books, and clubs, and what have you. But while you're on the job, you need to get on the job and forget about all that kind of stuff and look at that later in life.
Right. And do you think that today's athlete is motivated by money? Do you think they just have bad influence from their agents? Because I train kids, and, I mentor all the time, and even with my own children, it blows me away of how much involvement coaches, like even today, all the way from the AAU coach to the high school coach, that these young players are being, I feel, misled to have their surrounding bodies, not really just their immediate family and their parents, and that's it. You have the AAU coaches almost like negotiating side deals for these kids to go to colleges and pros and agents and stuff like that. What's your take on that as well?
It's completely different than when I came along. AAU changed the whole thing. And a lot of AAU came along because of the limitations that were put on basketball. When I was coaching in high school way back in the, I won't even give you the dates on that, we couldn't even talk to players. We had to wait till football was over. We had to be done before baseball starts, and there were tons of limitations on the games you could play. There's none of that in AAU. AAU can
right.
play in national championships. They can put you on flights. They can buy you shoes. They can buy whatever they want to buy. The rules and regs are a lot more lenient. And
right.
it's a real problem for the college guy, because the college guy has to deal with that to get the player. There's not many guys on the number one basketball team, whoever you think that is, if it's Kentucky, Syracuse, whoever you think it is, that want an AAU star that they had to be dealt
right.
with the AAU coaches. The money thing for me is blown completely out of perspective. That isn't what I got into it for, and that's why a lot of these people shouldn't get into it, because as the pipe narrows and you go from high school to college, people fall out. From college to pros, people fall out. There's only so many people who are going to make a living doing this. There's more brain surgeons in the world than there are NBA basketball players.
Correct.
So you need to get a degree. Let the sport work for you instead of you working for the sport. That's what I tell guys every day.
That's great. Well, one last question for you, Coach, before we go to commercial break. Once I'd like to appreciate you for having me on the show, but who's your favorite in your mind to win the NBA championship this year?
Ooh, NBA.
Yeah.
And
college.
College, I'm a Kentucky guy. I just
okay.
think they've got all the pieces, and they play so hard.
Okay.
I like Syracuse to be in the finals with them. Same reason, both of them have the shot blockers on the inside, and they both deal with the shot blockers real well, which a lot of teams don't see. A lot
right.
of people don't see the two shot blockers that they've got in a lifetime. NBA, it's going to have a lot to do with injuries this year because the schedule is so different.
Yeah.
I think it's different for the players, but it's also different for the fans.
Yep.
If you're a season ticket holder, you're there just about every other night.
That's true.
Or either you're watching it or something. I don't know if there's a burnout factor going to happen in there, but a lot of it's going to have to do with injuries to the premier players and also
right.
to the depth.
Right. So who do you think? I think Miami's going to win it. That's my choice.
I think they've come together this year better than they did last year.
Right.
I think they can do more with the talent that they've had. LeBron not taking as many threes is going to be a huge issue. He's a lot more efficient than he has been.
Right.
He's still a great talent, but he's a lot more efficient than he has been. But you know how it is when you get into series.
Right.
Matchups, those kind of things, you can get into a bad series with a team that maybe you're even better than and get beat.
You're right. Well, Coach, I really appreciate you definitely being on our show. And I look forward to bigger things from you. And we're going to go to commercial.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Fantasy sports is where the action really is. Over 40 million people play fantasy sports, but rarely do they get to quiz the experts. Fantasy Insights is the name and the game. Tune in every week as Dish Adams and his guests clue you in on the fantasy football game, what's happening on and off the field, and how it will affect your fantasy team. These experts aren't just beat writers assigned to fantasy football. They live and breathe the game. Tune in to Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to the Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. Got a question or comment for Tony and his guest? Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to tony.farmer@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Tony Farmer with the final few minutes into our show. Once again, I want to thank my coach, Fred Bryan, and Harold Arsenal as guests on my show. Like I said, you know, life is really about relationships and nothing more. Relationships and service. And you know, I've known these two men for a long, long time. When I was a young 21-year-old professional coming out of the Lakers and being waived by them and coming to Columbus, I really just wasn't understanding the program of how it was and that it's strictly a business, and was really frustrated. And Coach Bryan just sat me down, I remember one night, and said, "Son, you have a lot of talent to play this game. You just have to mature. You have to understand how it is. And you're definitely going to make your mark. You're going to be in the NBA. I'm going to push for you. I'm going to help you." And that year, my rookie year, I averaged 17 points as a rookie coming into the CBA. And after that, you know, I was well on my way as a professional. So, you know, our life is about people being in your circle that are positive. And I still talk to him, you know, every few weeks or a couple times a month, just picking his brain about different things. And I'm thankful to have him in my life. And with Harold, I watched Harold in college. I watched him as a pro. I played with him. I played against him. And, you know, you look at how he's transitioned now into the business world, and you look at life and see that, you know, God has a plan for all of us, and he's very passionate about his music. So those are kind of things that, you know, we look to do. And, you know, when I look at putting my show together, I always look at, just so you guys know, I like to look at different aspects of people live and how they're making their mark, how they've come back, how they've battled adversity, how they've been up and down. And those things are, you know, really important to me. And that's why I have selected guests on my show. And next week I'll have a couple NBA guests on here that I'm bringing on, and maybe even two of them. But, you know, I just hope you guys have a chance to digest all of this, maybe take notes and understand that life is so short and it's so precious that, you know, it could be taken away from you at any point in time. Looking at Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson, all these people who have passed away all of a sudden, unexpectedly, that life is so precious. And my thought for the week is, your time is limited. Don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living the result of others' people thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. And that's a powerful statement, because when you look at Facebook, when you look at Twitter, when you look at all this social media, and I'm, you know, just now getting involved with the Twitters and the Facebooks and things like that, and it's such of a powerful tool, but it can also be a tool that can corrupt some people. And I just, you know, I've had a chance to connect with new people, with old people, and things like that. And, you know, I tweet here and there. I don't have millions of followers, and if I do, at some point, great. If I don't, but, you know, you look at how you live your life, you want to live a legacy. You want to leave something to your family and friends and say, you know what, Tony Farmer was a good person. Fred Bryan was a good person. Harold Arson was a good person. Those things are very important. So as you guys go through the rest of this week, we're in a brand new month. They call it March Madness in the NCAA because there'll be a frenzy of teams. There'll be a Cinderella team. There'll be some upsets. There'll be some heartaches. There'll be some pains. There'll be some laughters. At the end of the day, there'll also be a champion. But you look at yourself as you being a champion in your own world. Take this weekend to just sit back and absorb the information that you've been shared with today. If you have kids, embrace them. Let them know that what they're doing, they have a goal, and to support them in what they're doing. If you're a coach, be able to lead your team to a championship of life. It's not about wins and losses. It's about how many lives you've saved and how many lives you've touched. So that's very important when you look at that. And I look at this week of giving you guys, you know, this piece of advice. In life, it's not how fast you finish. It's when you finish. Always want to finish first. Always give it the best that you can get. Always stay positive. And at the end of the day, you ask yourself, when you look at the mirror, it's looking right back at you. What have you done to hold yourself accountable? What have you done to make a difference? And as you think about that and you look at those things, if you can look at yourself every day and wake up being positive and smiling and making a difference, you know that you've touched somebody else's life. So when I woke up today and I came into my office and was just sitting back of how I wanted to format my show, reading my normal news and read the story about the young man with leukemia, I immediately at that moment went to the website, decided to be a donor for bone marrow, text my friend and let her know that I donated. She said she was so touched for the fact that I even thought about it. So, you know, with that being said, it just makes a difference to be able to touch someone else's life, to be able to make a difference in things you're doing. And I challenge each and every one of you, whether you donate blood, whether you donate bone marrow, do something to save someone else's life. I mean, I'm not the richest person in the world, but if I have a chance to help someone homeless or to get them a meal, I do that. And I remember just 2 weeks ago when I was driving at the gas station, the guy had asked me, he said he needs some money, you know, for gas, and he was just hungry. And I said, where's your car? So I gave him $5 of gas, not to his hand. He said he was hungry, went across the street to McDonald's and got him 2 cheeseburgers. And I'm just telling you, letting you know that for the fact that it doesn't take much to sacrifice. Ask yourself, how much does that Starbucks cost? Ask yourself, how much does, you know, the protein shake cost or whatever other kind of thing in your life that's not needed? Can you sacrifice? So, you know, with that being said, everyone, I definitely appreciate all of my listeners every week, and I definitely appreciate all of you supporting the show. You can go to www.thecomebackshow.com and look at my website, talk about my reality show, talk about the radio show, talk about my team. I want to thank Damian Cole for doing the music for my program, Corrine Lewis for providing the opportunity with the show, Ray Ellis at Voice America, Marcus Nettles from Hidden Gem Discoveries, who does all the website, and I'm also coming out with a clothing line called Mark 75 for men that are 6'3 and over. You can go to mark75.com. The website is not done yet, but I have my hands in a lot. I'm so excited to do that. Next week I'm going to have one of my mentors on the show as well, who's going to talk to you a lot about personal development. Might even have a couple of fitness experts. You don't never know what you're going to get with the Comeback Show. So with that being said, everybody, this has been a great week for me. I hope it's been a great week for you. Have a fantastic weekend. Make the most out of it. Have your Sunday be your relaxing day. Give God his praise. And we will see you next week on the Comeback Show. So long, everybody. Be blessed, and we're out of here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Comeback Radio Show. Please join Tony Farmer again next Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. See you then.